I know that the standing joke around here is that people won't live long enough for me to finish up preaching through Isaiah. And when we go through a pace like we will to do, looking at one verse, I can see that. But it is an important verse that I think ties right into what we're looking at today in the news and the celebration of the anniversary of the armistice of World War I. And so we're looking at one verse today, and that is Isaiah chapter 27, verse 6. Now we're also going to slow down Isaiah a bit, because next month, in the month of December, we're going to take all five Sundays of that month, and we're going to look at witnesses to a miracle. Five different messages, witnesses to a miracle, during the month of December, as we take a break from Isaiah, and then we'll come back in January. So our text today, which is also in your bulletin, Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 6. Isaiah 27 verse 6. In days to come, Jacob shall take root. Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots and fill the whole world with fruit. At the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 100 years ago today, the guns fell silent and the Great War finally came to an end. It took the lives of more than 16.5 million people, and total casualties will probably never be known for sure, certainly exceeded 30 million. It was the war to end all wars, and yet that was not to be. In fact, the seeds of World War II and many other conflicts were sown during the armistice that ended the Great War. Now, the Great War, as we know it today, World War I, was the first industrial war. Accurate artillery, murderous machine guns, bombs from the air, ground-rumbling tanks, and poisonous clouds of gas were combined with trench warfare to multiply the killing effects of war. In late 1918, the Meuse-Argonne Offensive cost more American lives than would be lost a generation later at both Normandy and the Bulge combined during World War II. It was also a war that changed our world forever. Because the war was raging in Europe, it allowed the communist revolution to take root. And this led to a century of socialist and communist bloodletting that continues to this very day. All of the great empires of the world were affected. Europe lost the cream of its young manhood on the blood-soaked battlefields around the world. Most importantly for us, in light of our text today, is what was going on in the Middle East. In November 1917, 101 years ago, the British took control of Jerusalem. And the Balfour Declaration was released, guaranteeing a homeland to the Jews. The Treaty of Versailles that ended World War I dismantled the Ottoman Empire, an empire that had ruled Palestine since the 16th century. This began the process that would lead to the creation of modern Israel in 1948. Just this last year, President Trump declared that the U.S. Embassy in Israel would be moved to Jerusalem, paying homage to the truth that the city of Zion is the true capital of the Jews. You see, Isaiah's prophecy found in our text today is continuing to come true before our eyes. Now you know, especially as I preach through Revelation, you know that I am not a proponent of reading with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. But that said, the events of modern history are too compelling for us to ignore. The existence of modern day Israel truly is a miracle. At the end of World War I and the upheaval that followed, We found Adolf Hitler, who had served in that war and hated the outcome of that war. He came to power in a resurgent Germany. And trying to make a scapegoat of the Jews, he attempted to annihilate them. More than 6 million Jews, not counting gypsies and others and defective peoples as they were called, numbers into 10, 12 million, but more than 6 million Jews would perish during his campaign of terror. Even before that, Russian pogroms wiped out entire villages of Jews, and that type of persecution continued in Stalinist Russia and in the Soviet Union. Even today, as seen in the horrific synagogue shooting a few days ago, we see anti-Semitism raising its ugly head even in our nation today. Israel has had to face determined enemies on every side, every day of its existence. I mean, in 1948, it declared itself to be a nation. The very next day, it found itself at war against all of the Middle Eastern powers. And nobody thought that they could survive. And they've been in a continual state of warfare ever since, fighting against enemies who are determined to push them into the Mediterranean Sea. And yet they've not prevailed. From the 1890s, when Jews started to move into Palestine, to the present, it has been dangerous to be a Jew in the Middle East, a son of Jacob. That has also been true for the Jews elsewhere in the world as far back as can be recounted. Yes, the continued existence of Israel is a continuation of the promise made to Abraham and a fulfillment of today's text. Remember back in Genesis 12 where God told Abraham that he would make a mighty nation of him and make his name great. Here is the promise of Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. As we've been studying our Bible study on Sunday mornings, we've seen that promise continue to Isaac and to Jacob. We've seen that promise continue to the 12 sons of Israel. We've seen the promise that God would make them a great nation and bless them has been fulfilled all since the beginning of Genesis 12. I don't know that God, in fact, I don't see that God has ever revoked that. The nation that blesses Israel, blesses the people of God, will be blessed. The nation that curses and dishonors the people of Israel will be cursed. Nazi Germany, the nation that dishonored God's people, has been cursed and is no more. The Soviet Union itself, that systematically persecuted the Jews, is no more. The nations that fight against God's people continually suffer stunning defeats. Terrible, stunning defeats. Miraculous defeats. And yet I fear for our nation. There was a time when Israel could count on the United States for support. In recent years, our support has not been all that great. And there are calls today that we as a nation distance ourselves from Israel. That we give more credence to the claims of the Palestinians than we do to the rights of the Israelis. And I truly believe that the day in which the U.S. turns its back on Israel, if that were to happen, is the day that we as a nation will come under God's judgment. Now certainly, there are plenty of things for which we are due judgment in our nation. But I think that the day that we turn our back on Israel, the day that we support her enemies, those who, their sole purpose is just to drive Israel into the sea. They don't care. They don't want to come to the peace table. They don't even want an Israel to exist. They're not going to be reasonable in any form, way, shape, or form. And the day that we side with those forces, instead of with the continuation of Israel, is the day that God will withhold His blessing from this country. I truly believe that. Yes, Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots and fill the whole world with fruit. And we see that played out on the world stage today. But the existence of Israel as a chosen people of God's blessing is only part of the story. We need to focus on the last part of the promise to Abraham. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now do you recognize the opposition to the Jews, the opposition to Israel, is truly an opposition to God? That when people don't want the blessings of Israel, they don't want the blessings of God. Because the ultimate blessing of Israel is the blessing of a Savior. It's the blessing of Christ. Israel, the Jews, really only existed for one purpose, the main purpose, to bring the Messiah into the world. Now, yes, I know that there are those, even today, who would say that, well, since that happened and Jesus came, that the Jews are no longer needed, and because they killed Jesus, that we'll kill them. And yet, as I said earlier, that promise that God made to Abraham and his descendants has never been revoked. Never in Scripture. The Apostle Paul cries out for the salvation of the Jews. Cries out that they would come to faith in Christ the same way that he did. See, what we find in Scripture is that God chose the Jews in order to bring forth the fulfillment of the promise they first made to Adam and Eve. That promise that one day a descendant of Eve would crush the head of the serpent. The serpent that has brought more bloodshed, more war, more violence to this world than we could ever begin to imagine. The one who would bruise the heel of that deliverer, and yet eventually will have his head crushed. Look at our text again. We're in judgment passages here in chapter 27, as we saw last week. In days to come, Jacob shall take root. Now, Jacob first needed to experience the Babylonian captivity. There needed to be a punishment of God's people for what they had done. And so Isaiah, looking forward, says, in days to come, after the punishment is over, after the judgment is over, after the cleansing has taken place, Jacob shall take root. Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots and fill the whole world with fruit. And the fruit is you and I. The fruit is the fact that we're the spiritual children of Abraham because we've trusted in the Messiah. And so through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, on to David and Solomon and so on, God brought forth into this world His only Son, Jesus. Born of a virgin in the line of Abraham and David, having an adopted father of the same lineage, God brought forth a descendant of Abraham to bless all the families of the earth. And blessed they will be. Do you know of those nations that hate God, those nations that hate Israel? In all those nations, there are believers, there are Christians. You see, we're going to find that every nation, every tribe, every tongue, people of every continent and island, all of them will worship around the throne of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All the families of the world will be blessed. God is going to draw out a people for Himself from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Do you know if you don't like people because they speak a different language or they're a different color or they're in a little different culture than you are, that you're not going to like heaven at all? Not going to like heaven at all. Not one bit. Because the people you're going to rub shoulders with in the New Jerusalem are going to be people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And they will have spoken different languages. They will have come from different cultures. They will be in different skin colors. They're not going to look like you, act like you, speak like you. But they still have the mark of God on them, and they're the children of God. And if you don't like that type of diversity, then heaven's not for you. It's really not. Let's think about that whenever we get ethnocentric in our own worlds. Where we start to think, well, maybe our culture's better. And we look down at other people because they're different. See, the blessing is to Abraham. But it's also, as the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans, it also to all who will become sons of Abraham through faith in Christ. Now, when I did a DNA test, wasn't any Jewish ancestry came up in my test. None whatsoever. I have a good friend. He did one of those tests. He found out not only did he have Jewish blood in him, but they could trace it to the fact that it was from the tribe of Levi. He was a Levite of the priestly class. None of that showed up in my blood. None of that whatsoever. I'm not a child of Abraham by descent. But I am a child of Abraham by faith. And so are you if you trust in Christ. See, we're not the physical Abraham coming from Abraham's loins, but we are the spiritual Israel, the spiritual descendants of Abraham coming from the heart of God. And how does anyone of any culture, of any nation, how does anyone come into this family? By turning from their sins and repentance and turning to Christ alone for His salvation. Repentance will be motivated by a love for Christ and a trust or faith in the claims of the Bible. That's why we preach the Word. That's why this is our standard. It is the reading of the Word that brings repentance and brings faith. This Word is a gift from God. Repentance, just like faith, is a gift from God. And God, by gifting us with His Word, by gifting us with the hearing of His Word, by gifting us with repentance, by gifting us with faith, He draws us using those things to Himself in love. And He gives us salvation full and free. Do you feel Him drawing you towards Him in faith? If so, call on Him while He is near. That's so important. That's the message we ought to be telling others. That's the message we should be sharing with our families, with our neighbors, with people who are different. When we send these Operation Christmas Child boxes out, I know these boxes are going with the gospel. I know that people are going to hear the gospel. I just read this week that a humanist organization in Great Britain is telling English people not to be deceived about the work of Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child. Telling them, this humanist organization, telling them, don't you know that when these people send these boxes to children, they also take the gospel of Jesus Christ with them? Well, duh! That's why we do it. Because the greatest gift that any child could receive is the gift of salvation in Christ. Not just that we give them a box of trinkets to make their day happy, but that we bring the gospel to them. And they hear the Word. And by the work of God's Holy Spirit, He brings repentance and He brings faith and He builds His church. And so we send boxes out around the world. We preach the gospel to our neighbors. We preach the gospel in our families. And most importantly, I believe we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. We need to be continually reminded that we're not a child of God because of anything we've done. We're a child of God because God has given us the immeasurable gift of salvation in Christ. It is He who opened our eyes and our ears to hear His Word. It is He who gave us new hearts of flesh to replace the stony dead hearts being dead in trespasses and sins. It is He who gave us repentance. It is He who has given us faith. It is He who perseveres in us and seals us until the day of His coming. We need to preach that message to ourselves now, today, and every day. And we need to believe it. And we need to believe that unless people believe that way, that they suffer the wrath of God and they suffer hell and torment. And so people just like me that don't have a drop of Jewish blood in them can become a child of Abraham through repentance and faith. Oh, what a great gift God has given us. Recognize that in this world we will have wars and rumors of wars. That war to end all wars actually led to more and more bloodshed worldwide. In fact, the 20th century was the bloodiest century of the entire human existence. But even in the midst of war, we have the Prince of Peace as our Lord and our Sovereign. Will you cease your battle against Him and enlist in His army today? Will you enjoy His pleasures evermore in His kingdom? That once it was fully consummated, we'll never again see warfare or bloodshed or turmoil or disease or tears. Will you abandon yourself into His love and live?